You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin. It's the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it? I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's episode of Perspectives, we're discussing stereotypes in a completely different way than you've probably ever thought about. We're exploring what are the stereotypes that you've actually bought into. Yeah, you heard me correctly. What stereotypes or typecasting have you created for yourself? You know, some of us typecast ourselves right out of life and right out of living. You know, the self-imposed stereotypes actually build a wall inside of you. And the wall is an internal wall that prevents you from knowing you and continues to override the reality of your particular situation. You know, we've all heard of actors who have been typecast, and it works about the same in real life. Good evening, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing beautiful. Good to have you.
Well, you are beautiful and you're doing beautiful. So.
Oh, I like those stereotypes. I'm big on that. Those are good. And join us tonight, Nedra James. Nedra, how are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm well, Ashley. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. And I remember you were on here on Perspectives a few weeks ago, and it was very enjoyable.
We're happy to have you back. Yeah.
Well, we are happy to be back, me, myself, and I. I had a ball. It was great.
A little backstory on Nedra. Nedra was with Booker T. Washington for how many years?
29.
But we're not counting. We're not counting. But no, she's raised some amazing children as well as some amazing Broadway stars as well, right?
I have. We've got some folk on Broadway now and some over in London. And we're just happy and proud that they are out there living their dream and creating their own types.
Ooh, I like that. Creating their own real types.
Yeah.
Joining us tonight, James Rose from Fox News. James, how you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. It's a long time no see.
I know. Got a lot of catching up to do.
I know. We're going to do some catching up. We're going to be talking about some stereotyping tonight. It's going to be an interesting show tonight because I think we all typecast ourselves or we allow others to typecast us. You know, meaning we actually accept their typecasting and we live by it because we are now what we are told we are instead of what we believe we are. I think this topic is pretty deep. I think it's eye-opening. It's massive. And I think with that in mind, let's start talking about specific areas where we deal with typecasting. You know, what typecasting have you actually bought into? And I think we all buy into typecasting for ourselves, and these stereotypes can be anything personal, your demeanor, your attitude, the way you act. You know, if you're a married couple or a component of being married, a single life, the caregiver, the taker, the detached, the playboy, the list goes on.
The list goes on.
This is deep.
It is, I know, isn't it? Makes you stop and think.
Yeah, James, you didn't think you'd have to think tonight, did you?
No.
It's Saturday night. And we're having a thing.
And we're thinking. We're thinking. We're thinking. Well, I'm going to jump in there, I think, if it's okay. And I'll say the
waters
first.
Are warm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're good. Well, we're waiting
and there's a
now.
Bar.
Hey, we're waiting now. I think the first stereotype that I bought into was when you finish college, you will be married. You will settle. You may work. You may not. And then your life will continue in those regards. And I have never been married. I'm out of college. I'm out of graduate school. I've retired. And it took me a minute to connect with, okay, well, that wasn't my story. It was inbred, if you will. It was the formula. Coming up in the 70s. Oops, I did it. It's okay. Do the math, y'all.
Hey, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, it was the generation that
you
were born into.
We were coming right after June Cleaver and Ward and Donna Reed.
They're divorced, by the way.
You know, I'm telling you.
I don't know. I'm kidding.
They did. But it just seemed like that was the formula, and I didn't follow that formula. So I'd say that's the first one that, as an adult or young adult, I could connect and pinpoint.
That's interesting, because I think that stereotypes are ingrained within our culture, like you just said, and then they're ingrained within our own minds. Mm-hmm. And we see those commercials, right? We see television shows and movies, and we automatically try, I think, to figure out which character we are most like. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't know if you've seen that show, The Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Indeed.
You know, that particular show, even old school Seinfeld, I mean, I think people have trying to figure out what character they're most like, you know, but what does it matter? I mean, that's what I always wonder is, what does it matter? And why do we always have to fit in? Is it some sort of reassurance issue? Is it because we want to be like that? Is it because we feel like that's the right formula?
Well, I think it's because we're taught that you should fit in. If I can just do a little quick quote from Death of a Salesman, Willie Loman, main character, always taught his boys and said to his boys, you've got to be well liked. And I think it's just something, it's connected some sort of strange way to a success formula.
Yeah.
I'm going to just throw that out there.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, human beings are social creatures. You know, we Absolutely. Interact with each other, we live with each other and whatnot. And it's always easier to put labels on things. Mm-hmm. That way you don't have to spend a lot of time thinking to be honest with you. Oh, this person is you know, a college graduate, or this person works in this industry, or this person is X amount of old. Mm. This person is that gender or this gender. And so automatically it comes to mind, you know, okay, so this person must like this and do this and, you know, act like this, whatnot. It's just easier that way.
Well, when it really comes to our lives, right, I think it's a daily thing. It's the alcohol we drink, right? The people we think that make us look good. The people we want to hang out with because it makes us look better. The right car, the right job, the right persona.
The
maybe.
Right people.
Yeah, and it seems like there's always a matter of choice, and we can pick at whim with no thought or depth. And I think it's interesting to me because it kind of reminds me of, I know this is really wacky, but the in vitro thing, when people are able to pick out the sex of the baby, mm-hmm. you know, and they want a certain intelligence level, et cetera. And I think in life, when we switch our attitudes, thoughts, and demeanors and persona in general, we receive a lot more of the benefits when we realize that it's not about a persona. And it's hard to do that because, like you were saying, Nedra, when you were raised, you're like, okay, I have to be married by a certain age. I need to have 2.1 child or whatever. What was the average?
Garage.
And we had to have this age, and you had to have the two cars, and you needed to have a dog, and you should have a cat, and this is the way it's supposed to be, and there's a picket fence out front, and mm-hmm. it's supposed to be painted white. And if it's not painted white, then you have a problem and something's wrong with you. If you're not like Ward and June Cleaver, then you have a problem. Even though I think they slept in separate beds, however, maybe that was the way it was supposed to be. But I think once we realize that all these stereotypes that we create on a daily basis for ourselves as well, even when we're listening to conversations, and I think a lot of times people will say, oh, so-and-so, all those types of people are like that.
Well, it's what you think. If you say, oh, I'm slow, I'm this, I'm that, you're telling yourself something about yourself, whether you're buying into it or not. You're speaking it. When parents are speaking about children, oh, he's a bad boy, she's a bad girl. Well, really, are they? Are they just in the space that they're in at that moment?
You know, you're talking about stereotypes, and I was thinking this was kind of an outward projection, but listening to your intro, you're talking about looking at yourself, and you know, wow, that can be kind of an epiphany when you look at yourself and realize what shackles you put on your own life. So I'm just now thinking about that. I really never thought about that. But that's why I went there.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I bought into that. And thus it took me a minute once I headed into career and this and that to be all right with, okay, well, I didn't get married.
Yeah, well, I think James brings up an important point. It's not just how you see other people. It's how you see yourself.
Yeah. And you don't even really realize it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like background noise.
Lot of people don't stop to look at self.
Right.
They're evolving and keeping themselves going based on those that are around them, these groups that you were just talking about, Ashley, whatsoever they may be.
Well, isn't it easier to figure out someone else's problems than your own?
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Why is that?
Oh, right. Why do we do
Doesn't
that?
Doesn't it seem like
so
it's a
well.
Train wreck that you see coming in at 5 miles an hour and you see it slow down and you're like, How could you not see that? But then in your
but
own
But I guess
life,
when you're on that train, you hello, really don't see it.
You're not looking. Those mirrors aren't right? there. Those mirrors
and that
aren't
train's
there.
A lot faster when you're on it. yes. And you don't see how you can jump off. There's no way in sight. You're like, if I jump off that way, I'm going down a ravine.
And we're just sitting here watching.
Way,
just
I'm
watching.
In a lot of pain.
Just watching.
And it's
just
riveting watching. It's riveting television.
It is.
Hence TV.
Hence reality.
And the news. No plug there. No shame.
None at all.
You know, and it's true, though, because I think a lot of times we're able to look at other people's problems, other people's miseries, and sit there and say, why are they so miserable with their own life? You know, but then if you think about it, a lot of times people mirror us, right?
Oh, yes.
And so it might come in a different form or fashion. And a lot of times it's like one of those funhouse mirrors because it doesn't show you direct reflection, but it shows you some sort of augmented reflection of sure. your life versus their life. But it's in a way that almost makes you make fun of them. Because you're like, oh, they're nothing like me. These people have a terrible life. They're all messed up. They're all screwed up in the head. But actually, it's not that way. It's just that we're making those decisions because it's hitting too close to home.
Well, and the vision that you're getting, the image that you're getting, it doesn't seem realistic because you're in the fun house. You're in a place where you can not deal with it if it's not what you want to see.
Do you think this speaks to the success of reality television? I mean, across the board, it's the cheapest way to produce a product.
Oh, yeah.
But people are riveted by the drama on reality television. Is that why you think?
I think people are naturally nosy. you know,
so
you, I mean,
they like that inside look.
They like being the fly on the wall and, you know, and oh, that person is stupid and that person is whatever.
I like that. Let's talk more about the reality shows when we come back, because I think that's going to actually segue into our next segment when we talk about career and our career stereotypes and the type settings and that we've created for ourselves. So stay tuned. When Perspectives returns, we're discussing the stereotyping and what you've actually brought on to yourself. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's episode of Perspectives, we're discussing stereotypes in a different way than you've probably ever thought about. We're exploring the stereotypes that actually you've bought into. Yeah, you heard me correctly. You know, what stereotypes or typecasting have you actually created for yourself? You know, some of us typecast ourselves right out of life and right out of living. You know, these self-imposed stereotypes actually build a wall inside of you. The wall is an internal wall that prevents you from knowing you and continues to override the reality of your situation. You know, we've all heard of actors who are typecast. Well, it's the same thing in real life. You know, I think we should begin, because earlier we were kind of generally talking, but let's begin our exploration into personal stereotyping by going in depth into career typecasting. Now, I think a career is usually not decided on by what we are passionate about. Instead, it's usually selected as a stereotypical basis. It's usually selected when we're kind of basically stereotyping what's right, what's wrong. So let's start off with what looks good on paper. I think a lot of times people choose a career because it looks good on paper.
What will get you the most money? I think in our society, we judge success by, you know, how much money you make.
You're talking about the green paper. I'm even talking about, oh, okay, when I'm
job
going out there or I'm meeting somebody or you have a resume out there, what do I have on that resume?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, if you look on that resume and let's say that one person A is an artist, you know, and but then person B is a finance manager at a bank.
Right.
Okay, well, I mean, the artist, I mean, that person was born to do what he or she does and would not be anything else. But let's face it, unless you're just that, you know, really elite, successful artist.
Top rung artist.
Yeah,
otherwise,
then,
yeah.
You know, you may not have a whole lot of material success.
Right.
Okay, but if you put that resume out there, you're looking for, a job out there. Well, then, as the human resources manager, you know, the starving artist or the finance manager
right,
at the
you're
bank.
Looking at earning power.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at earning power.
I got you. I mean, I think also what career yields you the most prestige? Could I think be. Prestige
well,
is a big deal.
Well, and that's a power.
And again, how do you define prestige? I think our society defines prestige by
with money.
By bling.
With money. Yeah. What sounds good. You know when you meet somebody out and you ask them what they do, because that's just the way that this world works because of the stereotyping we got going on here. Nobody says, hey, you seem like a really nice human being. Let's talk.
Oh, no.
You know, no, it's like, what do you do for a living? So instead of that, when you ask somebody and they come out and you're like, whoa, CEO of what? Wow. Ooh, mm-hmm. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm going to – let me buy you a drink.
I think this is true. You could start your own business in a living room, and you can make a measly $10 a month. But if you call yourself the CEO of that business, you know,
you make 20.
And most people don't even know what it is or what you do. It's like, oh, you're a CEO. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, but anyway, you know, and I'll throw it to you, James. I mean, in your profession. You know, I mean,
why you got
to
come at me? Like that.
Oh, Bill, you just put him in the hot seat.
It's plugged in, by the way,
right there.
Hey, you know what? Let me just share
option.
This with you. I got into television news because I was passionate about it.
Well, that's
it really wasn't for the money. I mean, I made $15,000 a year.
It what sounds like education,
but you know what? You got to roll with it.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We all shacked up, split the rent at a high-end apartment place, and for years, you know, we all had a good time because you're all, you know, you do what you have to do. And I just love TV news, always have, always will, and it wasn't about the money. But
you're
if you stay
awesome
in it long enough and follow your dreams,
you can get to the money.
They become a reality.
Yeah.
And you're great at it too. I mean, I think also, I mean, you're right. You also have to be talented. You got to work for it, but you're excellent at it. You can tell that
you
love it.
So.
You know, you can show, it shows how much passion you have for it. If you watch, you know, the stories and you watch, you know, your specials every night, I don't know. I mean, I feel a direct connection, and I think you can really see that when somebody's really passionate about what they do. And so I agree with what you're saying, but yeah, you're right. Sometimes it's not about
But a lot
the money.
Of times people settle. They have a dream and a vision in their head, but mom and dad beat them down and say, you know what, be real, like the artist.
Yeah.
Great analogy. I mean, how and many people really
so
don't realize
often.
Their potential?
Yeah.
Because they're afraid.
Well, James, I'll tell you, I draw off my own experience on that. When I came out of college, I wanted to follow a specific dream, but various things happened, and so pressures from my family, I went into the insurance business. Because why? Because it was a way to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I stayed with 11 years, and I made a good living, actually, at it. But it just wasn't what I was cut out for.
Didn't ring your bell.
Didn't ring my bell.
Your heart was not thumping.
That's right.
As it should have been.
As it should have been.
Yeah.
Well, you were thinking about they. And I think a lot of times we think about they. What will they respect? What will they respect me doing? And sadly enough, a lot of times the yearning and the thing that you have in your heart is not what you think they will. Or you've been stereotyped and typecast so long that you forgot what you want to do anymore. And so you're thinking, yeah, being a lawyer, that's what I want to do.
And you didn't do that check within that heart. And I think that has a lot to do with passion does come from inside of you. And if you don't listen, which we are not taught to do often, to listen to that internal rhythm, that internal beat, we do miss the dream, the thought of what I really want to do. What can I do no matter what, whether I'm shacked up in an apartment with 15 people, but I want to do the news, whatever the case may be, we miss that. We missed that.
But Nedra, I got a feeling you didn't miss a beat.
Ooh.
I mean, I just met you, but you really seem connected.
Or disconnected. I might be disconnected.
Well, you're connected to your internal rhythm. You know what's going on.
She's unplugged. She's unplugged.
I was lucky. I had parents and a village that said, go do what you want to do. But, mother... You might want to take some education classes while you're in college. You never know. You may have to fall back on. So I was lucky to kind of get the best of two worlds by being an educator, but at a performing arts high school. So that kind of edged out the bets for me.
I'll bet you've run across a lot of graduates of your performing arts high school who, when they first started out in the performing arts, they were like James. You know, they were, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Eating ramen noodles and, you know.
Even just to come to the school, you had quite a few parents who did not understand why their child wanted to come to this school. That's not a real job. How can you make any money dancing or singing or acting
right.
or creating visual art? That's not what you do as a living, because a lot of times these students were first generations into a performing arts environment. So they were being stereotyped before they could even get their foot in the door.
See, and Ashley, that's why business schools at colleges are just, bursting at the seams.
And you know how many people have a degree in management and business?
Oh, right.
I mean, every single person on the block's got a degree in management. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bill has one too. Mm-hmm. There you go. I mean, I think that a lot of times people, though, get beaten down by their family when they're young, because the family members wanted to do something like that.
And they try to live through them.
They wanted it, but their parents told them they couldn't do it. So they're going to have to do the same thing, because they're thinking, well, we barely scraped by anyway. We barely got it done. We barely got the food on the table. And so we don't want them to go through the same thing. I don't think they're really trying to destroy their dreams. I think they're just trying to make some sort of reality. But instead, it puts this limitation in there. It puts the monkey wrench in there where they're like, okay, well, whatever my parents want me to do, I want to have their respect. I want mom and dad to care about me. I want them to be happy with what I'm doing.
And to show that I'm a responsible human being.
Yeah, and actually, I think the end result for some young adults, 18 to 22, not all of them, don't want to quote-unquote stereotype them, but, from 18 to 22, because I've gone back to school, and I can see that a lot of these kids are going to school just because, I mean, it's four more years of high school. They're still living at home with mom and dad, and they got the, part-time job, and they don't really have, a plan for life, which you don't necessarily have to have your whole life mapped out at age 18. That's not what I'm saying. But, they're going to college just because that's what society expects them to do, not because they have something specific in mind they want to get an education for.
How did you make the break, Bill, between the 11 years at the insurance company and now what I'm suspecting is that you're living the dream now?
Well, I think it just came to the point where I hated my job so much that I would rather rob a bank than going to work one more day. And it caused, and I remember.
Health problems.
I won't get into the specific incident. It was.
Did you rob a bank?
Almost.
Oh.
Bill.
Offline. He's driving the getaway car.
I'll tell you that story during the break. But anyway, it did cause a specific incident between my manager. And it wasn't affecting my health, but it was affecting my relationships.
Sure was.
People were trying to tell me I was miserable and I just wasn't going to listen to him, and I finally just had that epiphany one day.
Those were your angels.
Yep.
When Perspectives returns, we're going to continue our exploration and to career stereotypes and what we actually buy into. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
The galaxy is here!
What do you mean here?
Galaxies, hundreds of millions of stars and planets. How's it here?
You humans, when are you gonna learn that size doesn't matter? Just because something's important doesn't mean it's not very, very small.
How small?
Tiny, like the size of a marble or a jewel. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta be warped before my flight.
All right, get out of here.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing stereotypes in a different way than you've probably ever thought about. We're exploring the stereotypes that you actually bought into. What stereotypes or typecasting have you created for your own life? Some of us typecast ourselves out of living. These self-imposed stereotypes actually build a wall inside of us, and that wall is an internal wall that prevents you from knowing and understanding yourself, and what it does is it overrides your current situation. I think we've all heard of actors who have been typecast, and I think it works the same in real life. Let's continue our exploration into personal stereotyping by continuing our in-depth view into career, career typecasting, honestly. And if I can get that word out.
Yeah, say it fast three times there.
Because I typecasted myself, and I think I started mentally going back in some sort of haze here. Oh, my gosh, what have I done to myself?
Not a purple haze, was it?
Oh, that would have been nice. Mm. Okay, before the break, we were discussing what looks good on paper, what career will provide prestige, and what others will actually respect. What about high school? I think this is important. Let's go back to high school. I think high school, for some of us, was a very loving, caring time.
Blah,
and for some of us, were the worst times in our lives. And for some of us, the idea of one-upping one-upping anyone that caused them pain is on the top of their list. And I recall that one, it was not a very good film, okay, but it wasn't the worst, but it wasn't the best, Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. And I don't know, and I know Bill's never seen it because he's never seen a movie in his whole life.
I've heard of it, I just haven't seen it.
It wasn't the best, like, acting, but it was cute. And if anybody's seen Friends, they know that one of them was one of the girls from Friends, you know, Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. So let's talk about that. I think a lot of times we get stereotyped by our career because we want to choose one that the a-holes in high school will actually eat crow. You know, when you go to the 10-year reunion, you're on top. Top dog. Look at me.
I've got this. This is what I did.
I'm not gangly anymore. I don't wear the glasses, says Bill. Or Ashley will say, I don't look like I'm 11 anymore.
Okay, you bloomed. You blossomed.
You know, I think high school, you want to impress. You want to impress those high schoolers. You want to come back 10 years ago. Yep.
And yet again, I'm the outlier. I have never been to a high school reunion, nor will I go, because I hated it so much that I don't care a blankety blank.
The high school experience wasn't good for you?
No, it wasn't.
Too many stereotypes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of kids go.
I wasn't a good athlete. I was actually smart and got straight A's.
Were you a nerd?
Yes, I was very much a nerd.
He was a band nerd. Okay, you did music too.
A band and JROTC nerd.
So I
doubled up on it. So yeah.
But no one ever told you that you were diverse, and then you had several talents and skills.
Nope, absolutely not. You know, I mean, of course, this is a small high school in West Texas too. You know, so. So, and another stereotype, you know, y'all can't see it, the listeners, but everybody around the table just nodded their head. Know what you're talking about.
That is stereotypical though. I agree with you. I think though a lot of times high school can be problematic for some people just because of all the stereotypes, all the issues, but a lot of times people do want to look good at that reunion. And that's kind of one of the one-up things that I think people get into. I think also people pick interesting careers based on, I want to get a hot chick. And I don't think it's so much for the women, because I don't think women are looking to get a hot man because I'm going to have this great job. I think, though, for a man, they go out there trying to land a girl based on their career.
Trophy wife.
I absolutely believe that. I think that's why there's pressure, especially on men. But, you know, I'll talk from the male perspective. There's that pressure to get a high-paying job.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise a girl's not going to pay attention to you unless, you know. See, in high school, it was you got to play on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you get out in the world, then if you don't make a good living, then, the hot girls aren't going to pay attention to you. And I think there's something to that, to be honest with you.
Maybe I've been doing this too long because that was never, ever, ever a thought in my head. I really feel blessed in a lot of ways, but we were talking earlier, your parents kind of help mold who you are, I guess. Mm-hmm. And my dad, first generation American, became a naturalized citizen from Honduras. He always said, you know, I came to this country so I could have a family and you boys could do whatever you want to do. He never said what I want you to do. He just said whatever you want to do. He wanted me to do air conditioning, refrigeration, and heating, which, you know, he actually paid for me to go to a tech school. Wasn't ringing my bell.
Right.
Man, he had plans. He had somebody draw a building plan that I could live above and have a shop below.
Oh, see, there you go.
This was his dream. It didn't work for me, but he never beat me up over that. He just said, do whatever makes you happy.
But still, James, I mean, you know, okay, maybe you didn't get that pressure from your dad, but you're saying that that nobody around you, society you didn't feel the pressure from society?
You know, I guess I did. That's what I'm saying. Maybe I've been doing this too long because I can't remember anybody having that kind of influence on me other than my parents, you know, who, you know what I mean? Yeah. High school was hell. I mean, let me just say it like this. I was asked not to come back.
You were asked not to come back?
Oh, you were one of those kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and that was at a very prominent.
He was one of those boys.
You were one of
Catholic
those.
School.
Oh, and Catholic school,
so
too?
I actually went to four different high schools.
You gave the nuns
but I graduated.
A run for their money.
But you did graduate.
Graduated.
Yeah.
The nuns and the priests didn't know what to do with you.
Did they give you the diploma just to say, take it and go?
Bye-bye.
I don't care if you pass or not. Just go.
Yeah, they were like, you're good.
Exit stage right.
But I went in the military, and if anything really defined me, and And you know what? You're forced to confront, I guess, your stereotypes when you're in the military mm-hmm. because they rip you down in basic training. They strip you down mm-hmm. of your everything so that you function as a team. So it's kind of interesting how I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you do, what you look like. We're all equal.
There's a cleansing.
Black, brown. Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way, too, but a lot of times it takes people – I think a lot of times it's not in people's comfort zones. They're used to their parents saying something. They're used to the people around them believing something. They're used to believing something themselves. And I think that, like you said, your dad about the AC, air conditioning, repair types thing. I mean, it's a lot of times people – Their parents won't force them. It's not like they're taking them there and holding them hostage and saying you have to go to this school. But most of the time, people lose their identity or never had an identity, right? And so they fall into that, the best thing I can do is do this and follow the lead of what my dad thinks I can be good at. And I think a lot of times people would do that and you would never be sitting here right now. You would be living in the place above your place, repairing some AC units. Yeah. And we would never have met because you would have accepted that is what was the acceptance.
Yeah, well, real quickly, Ned, in mm-hmm. defense of parents, which I'm not one, mm-hmm. but I mean, in defense of parents, I mean, I think a lot of them can tell, okay, this kid, you know, of mine knows what he or she wants, but maybe this kid doesn't. So I think I better help this, you know, kid be out a little bit. You know, I mean, it's just that love
for your
child.
Give some guidance.
You don't want to just, you know, okay, here's a $20 bill. Good luck. Best of luck.
And out
know.
There. I think the other thing, too, sometimes in those conversations with those people who may be mentors, parents, guiders, some words can be said to set up that trajectory. Well, you know, you don't do this so well, so why don't you do this? Or, well, you know, you didn't get that done. You might want to go instead of just allowing the time for nurturing, for making mistakes and diversity to help those kids as they become adults rather than set up something in their heads that wasn't there in the first place.
You know, Nedra and Ashley, I'm going to surprise you 2 weeks
Uh-oh.
In a row. I'm going to make a movie reference.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this? Okay.
I'm shocked and I'm scared. I'm shocked and scared.
Oh, the
I know.
Stars
and
are
I'm scared.
In alignment.
There's a drum roll. And James, you'll appreciate this too, okay? We've seen Rudy.
Oh.
Remember the beginning of the movie? Mm-hmm. You know, the Rudy wants to go on the trip to Notre Dame, and the priest says, you know, you're not cut out for Notre Dame, you know.
See?
I mean, but,
it starts.
Which, you know, I'm not picking on Catholic
but
schools.
It's a
I'm
great,
just saying,
that's a great
you know?
Example.
But, you know, that's exactly what I think helps a lot of people. Because, you know what? I mean, how many times have you done things in life where everybody's saying no? And you just say, well, okay, well, hell with all y'all, I'm going to do what I believe is the right thing to do. And then you look back and that kind of empowers you, you know?
Sure does.
Guess what?
Sure
this guy does. I used to look up to said, don't do this, and now I'm going to show him.
But James, I think that's the one of the main topics tonight is that it takes special courage to swim against the tide
current.
Of pressures that society puts on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a two-way street. That's a two-way. Either you grow, that character moment happens, or you're stunted into some sort of stereotypical box.
Yeah.
I think you have to start doing what you love, but I think a lot of people don't ever know what they love. And I think a
right.
lot of times we start as young kids where yeah. we have something that we're passionate about, whatever it is, and we do it at a young age, but then after that we're kind of block it out of our mind mm-hmm. because, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you're not going to get famous at a young age doing something like that. You're not going to be like, well, most people aren't going to be this artist or whatever. And so we put it back there when we go through elementary, you go through middle school, you go through high school, you go through college, and then all of a sudden by that point, you don't even remember what you love to do anymore.
Right.
And so, like in James' situation, you know, the dad, that would be the perfect situation where most people would go, okay, yeah, I'll do that. Or, you know, if the parents weren't going to help them at all, they would think, okay, what would other people respect me for doing? You know, what would my girlfriend do? What would my boyfriend want me to do? What would other people respect me to do? You know, where can I make a lot of money at? And I think that that's important. But let's talk in a little bit. When we come back from our break, we're going to be talking about looks versus attitude. And I think that those are some very interesting stereotypes that we make based on people's looks, based on their attitude and their way of life. So stay tuned, because when Perspectives returns, we're going to gaze on the looks and figure out what stereotypes that we've actually fallen in ourselves. Stay tuned, because Perspectives will be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Perspectives, live here with your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing stereotypes in different ways. Different ways than you've probably ever thought about. You know, we're exploring the stereotypes that you've actually bought into. What stereotypes or typesetting and typecasting have you created for yourself? You know, some of us typecast ourselves right out of life and right out of living. These self-imposed stereotypes actually build a wall inside of us, and we can't actually see our own reality. You know, we've heard of actors who typecast, who have been typecast, and we actually do the same thing in our life. You know, in previous segments, we actually mentally went in depth into career stereotyping and what we've accepted or what we've actually more or less bought into. And I think now it's time to move into looks versus attitudes and the stereotyping and typecasting that we've placed on ourselves and the ones that we've allowed others to apply to us. So let's talk about that. Looks versus attitude. For example, if you're a beautiful woman, you're allowed to be a bitch. And I think that's so.
Well, and not only that, but you can pretty much get anything you want. And I think physical beauty, especially for women, is like a superpower. And you can either use it for good
or evil.
Or evil. And there's both, by the way. I mean, I know lots of pretty women who are just, you know, the best people in the world. But I also know some pretty women who, you know, are not so pretty on the inside. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
But I mean, think about it. I mean, like, it's customary. I mean, you sit there and you hear people. Let's bring back to the reality TV show concept that James was bringing up earlier in the hour when he said, you know, hey, what about reality shows? You see a lot of those people. Some of them are pretty and they're not the nicest of people.
No.
I think it's easier to write somebody off if they are pretty and.
They did got by on their looks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, and the other thing is, you know, a lot of people will look at somebody and say, man, you know, she's beautiful, and they don't like her because she's beautiful.
Because she's beautiful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a dual-edged sword, I believe.
And a lot of beautiful women are lonely. They don't have real friendships. I've found some people who are wishing that they had a real friend, not because of what the China doll. Look,
you know, Nedra, I don't remember who it was, but there's this famous supermodel who recently made news like a few months ago, said, you know what, you know, models have the least self-esteem of anybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and you would think it'd be just the opposite.
No, that's very true. I mean, because yeah. A lot of it's because of the stereotype.
There's an abuse. There's an abuse.
Because, you know, these, you know, beautiful supermodels, and everybody tells them they're beautiful and all the good stuff, and yet they...
Is that why they all settle for the guys that don't look so good?
That, but have the bling going for them. And maybe that's something we get into in
or
the future
the
segment
it's
here.
It's a stereotype.
But yeah, I mean.
It's a stereotype.
But also those men probably also convey some sort of, I'm all that. I'm in charge. I have all the security, even though it might not be real security, but they're looking for that security. They're looking for someone that's not insecure. And so it could be a play. It could be a total play.
On either side. And someone to protect. I've got you. I can protect you. I'm your paparazzi wall,
yeah.
If you will.
Well, I'm your man, baby.
Yeah,
I'm your
I
man.
Got that.
Well, and actually, I was hoping that in sometime during the show to get into like gender stereotypes because that's the one stereotype that I buy into is our. But anyway, kind of specifically what we're talking about. I mean, yeah, you know, a beautiful woman can basically has her pick of any guy, and if she picks someone who can, you know, like Nedra said, you know, protect her financially.
What about the flip flop? Let's talk about the unattractive woman. I mean, what about the unattractive woman? I know a lot of people that sit there and say, well, she might not be that pretty, but she's really nice, and you know what? She can cook. She can cook some. You got to see her in the kitchen. She can cook.
Oh, Ashley,
and you hear
you
that
know.
Stuff all the time. You don't know. Hear them saying, oh, my wife is a supermodel. And man, she can cook.
Or the paper bag over the head.
Yeah, actually.
The clapper.
Yeah. I think it was, James, you appreciate this. John Stossel, several years ago, did a special for 2020. Mm-hmm. And they actually took two women, you know, the same age, like in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. One of them was blonde. One of them was brunette. They intentionally made the blonde, like made her up to be like really, really pretty. By the way, the same clothes, you know, so the same, you know, ankle length dress, okay, about the same height. They made the blonde to be really, really pretty. And the brunette, they made her up to be like, you know, not attractive. I mean, she's attractive in real life, but they applied makeup to make her not attractive, right?
Okay.
They put
I'm following.
They put both women in a classroom of kindergartners.
Okay.
And they read the exact same story to them. afterwards, they asked the children, which one did you like better?
I like the blonde.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Absolutely.
So what did he conclude? That we're born to, you know, favor attractive people over unattractive people.
But that there's also a double-edged sword, though, and I'm going to go back to that. Like James said, I agree with what you said, Bill, but also James said sometimes it's easier. People don't like looks. I mean, sometimes people see somebody that's good-looking and say, they can't be smart. They can't be that intelligent. Mm-hmm. Something's got to be wrong with them.
What's the stereotype of the pretty girl? She's a bimbo.
She's an idiot.
Yeah.
No brain.
Marilyn Monroe was in real life, Norma Jean, I forget her last name, real last name. In real life, she was like a genius level IQ.
No.
Was she?
She married Arthur
Baker?
Miller.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that may have been it. Yeah, Norman Jean Baker. But
somebody anyway. Google that.
Okay. Yeah, really. I'll Google it during the break. But anyway, she in real life she had a genius level IQ, and she played the dumb blonde on purpose because she got
was
famous.
Cast as the dumb blonde.
Yeah.
And she got far with that because she's hanging out with the president.
She played well.
Yeah.
And she did really well.
She had everybody fooled.
And then there was the line. This is who you are. This is who you are.
She passed away. She died from an overdose.
Okay, so what about guys? What about good-looking guys?
I'll cite the same special report earlier. They took two guys, and they did kind of the same thing with them.
One blonde.
No makeup?
Well, actually, they applied movie type makeup.
Oh, okay,
right?
Okay. And you know me, I just had that.
I know. But they sent them to this New York stock exchange company,
Wall
finance
Street.
Company, yeah, Wall Street type company, and things on their resume. All right, so equally qualified, and the hiring manager looks at the good looking guy, and says, "Well, you look like a stockbroker."
I think that it probably would have been other way around. Wow. Like, you're out. You're too good looking.
Wow.
Because I've seen people question people, though, with their looks. I mean, like, the only thing that I see a lot of times stereotypes with men are short men. So when a man is short, a lot of women and a lot of people make decisions about short men. And a lot of short men have a stereotype in their head where they feel short.
Yeah.
And so they have to do something to make up for that short. And they either have to have this huge attitude.
The Napoleon complex.
That's so big they can't get it out of the room. They literally have women draped on them. I mean, there's all these things that you can tell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they have a drinking issue. Mm-hmm. Or they have a smoking issue. Or they're doing illicit drugs. But I have seen that short man syndrome. It's a stereotypical thing. There's short people out there. I mean, there was a whole war that was played out where they shot all the tall people. So think about it. There's a whole group of people from certain countries that they're 5'8 and below. I mean, you're not going to get any better unless you're starting to marry with, some other Germans and this and that and adding the group together. But however, I just went on a freaking tangent.
You're back.
Short man and the stereotype. I think that's key. I mean, I think that's a key thing.
Why are you looking at me? I'm like 6 foot.
Hey, we're looking up.
And if you're a tall man, you got it all figured out.
Yeah,
so women look at tall men and go, oh, well, I want to date a tall man because mm-hmm. they got it all together.
Well, the adage was tall, dark, and handsome.
Oh, there you go. You didn't need a short, dark, and handsome.
Yeah, no short in the mix at all. Medium.
But tall, dark, and handsome.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
That's so true. Like, my dad's 6'4", right? And so my mom, she's 4'9".
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Although anyway. I will say this, mm-hmm. and I think this is true. The bigger your bank account, the taller and more good-looking you get.
Oh, you can be just ugly and you'd be fine.
Yes, indeed.
You'd be fine.
Yes, indeed.
Remember I told you about that? My friend's dad used to put, $100 bills on his bald head and be like, look how pretty I am now.
Was he short where you could just look down and see it?
Yeah, he was short and bald. And he was like, look, he told his son that at 14, 13, 14? He goes, women don't care about the way you look, care about what you got. And he literally sticks two $100 bills on his sweaty bald head. And he goes, look how pretty I am now. And all of a sudden, women just running after him.
And look at the information he was giving
and
his
son. And he grew up with that, and we won't even go into that.
That was good.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's not good.
That's a way to bring up a kid, right?
Yeah.
That's a really great way of bringing up a kid.
Scary there.
Yeah, it's all about what you've been brought up around. So think about his stereotype. His stereotype is, if I don't have money, I can't get a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Or, it doesn't matter what I do in society.
Or money overcomes all.
Well, yeah.
I guess that's the lesson he was trying to teach his son.
I think so.
And he still believes that. His kid still believes that, and his dad still believes
that. Well, he's living it.
He's living proof of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we return, we're going to talk more about stereotypes with looks and attitudes and how you can actually throw them into your own life, but you need to begin to throw them out. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're discussing stereotypes in different ways than you ever thought about. We're exploring the stereotypes that you've actually bought into. You know, what stereotypes or typecasting have you actually created for yourself? You know, some of us typecast ourselves right out of life and right out of living. And I think these self-imposed stereotypes actually build a wall inside of you. And they create the situation that overrides all of reality. And it's actually like you're an actor. You've been typecast. It's the same as in real life. I think we discussed earlier career stereotyping. And right before the break, we were talking about looks and attitude, and how that we stereotype ourselves and other people. And I think the concept, if you're extremely attractive, you know, you can be a bitch, and that's acceptable. But how unattractive women should be kind, and they should be able to cook, you know, and I think that's kind of interesting. So let's continue our exploration by digging into this concept of looks and attitude. I think if you're good looking, I think a lot of times people think you can't be single. And if you're single and you're good looking, then you're crazy.
Okay, or so, just I mean, the opposite. You're a playboy, or especially if you're a female, if you're single and good looking, then you must be a, you know what,
playgirl.
Yeah,
but haven't you heard that where a girl is like, you know, extremely good looking, and she's single, and they go, something must be wrong with her. Or they see a man and it's the same thing too. Something must be wrong with him.
Oh, yeah, I get that
all
the time.
They must be crazy. Yeah. I mean, she's either certifiable or there's something.
I mean, I'm 41 years old and I've never been married. I've been.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I've been engaged one time, but I've never been married.
You're the exception.
And, you know, I actually asked a female friend one time and said, you know, what is it all about? And, actually what she said the issue was, was that, well, I mean, you're too nice. And so, you know, like you're actually nice to people. You're nice to the women you date, and they don't know how to handle it.
Mm. That's interesting.
So where's the stereotype in that?
It's like, what's wrong
women
with
women have been taught, you know, not to deal with nice men.
And again, you know, Nadja, I said this earlier. That's why it's part of the reason why I buy into a lot of the gender stereotypes. Mm-hmm. I don't buy into a lot of stereotypes, but I absolutely buy into gender stereotypes.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, y'all looking at me. I don't know.
I don't know either, because I'm thinking, if you're rich, too, you must be attractive. I've heard that one. And I think it's interesting how, you know, people always assume that, you know, women that have big boobs, you know, they there must be something going for them. Or they also, all women have to be good mothers. And I think those are also interesting, too. Like, you're a woman. It's integrated into your brain. You have to be a really good mom.
It
you're going to be a great mom.
It's not in every woman's DNA to be a good mother.
No,
I have met some women who probably should not have ever had children.
Well, look at our prison population.
Oh, there my goodness. There you are.
You kidding me?
That's pretty bad.
Well, and what about the who's that woman who lives out in California who had the 8 children?
The Octomom.
Yeah. You know,
Octomom.
She already has 6 children.
Well, Octomom can.
I hate to say this, but we have some celebrities who are products of mothers, and maybe some of those people might not have been great parental.
Right.
Units. You know, that's just a shame that I have some close personal friends that have been trying to have a baby and can't. And you look around at people that, you know, you don't like to judge, but it's like, really?
You should take a test to have a child. You should have to take a test.
I absolutely believe that.
What do you think? What do you think if we all come up with the test?
Not just one.
We'll make it universal. We'll get it covered by, you know, all the insurance companies. Well, Obamacare. Everything else is going to cover
it. Should be several tests, not just one.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We'll make it an on-the-job thing. Yeah. And mostly good parents tend to, I think, and maybe I'm diverging a little bit, but and this might be stereotypical, but it seems that good parents allow growth. They allow growth. There is some discipline there. There is safety there. There are all the things that I think we experienced one way or another in our childhood.
Well, Nadra, just to address your point there, what about what's your opinion on the tiger mom? You know who I'm talking about? What's your opinion about her? Like you know, you must force your child to do this every single second of the day is scripted and blah, blah, blah.
Life isn't like that. And so you're not giving your child the tools
to deal
with life.
Who's the tiger mom?
You
haven't heard of her? I forget her name. She lives in California. She's of Chinese descent. She was raised in Asian culture.
Mm-hmm.
Drawing upon her Asian heritage, she believes that in order to be a good parent, if you really love your children, then you will basically plan out every single, you know, activity, every single second of their day. She forces her daughter to take piano lessons, forces her to do sports, forces her to do, you know, take guitar lessons. And basically, if you don't do that, then you don't love your child.
Well, wow. I can see where she's coming from in a way. Structure is very critical in a child's development. And if you give them enough structure young enough and then wean back as they get older, it's kind of like you teach them how to ride that bike with training wheels. Next thing you know, you take the wheels off and they're a free spirit, right, man. They're going. But I mean, if they're doing that up until they're, you know, 18, that's a problem because then you take that structure away, they crash and burn.
And they don't have any, say so in what's happening for them. Everything is a mandate.
Yeah.
I kind of wish my parents made me play a musical instrument.
And learn three languages. Learn other languages.
I tried to play the guitar. I couldn't.
I wanted to set a drum.
It's never too late.
You know, I've heard that.
And it's the truth.
But now I'm deaf in one ear, so.
It's okay.
I don't know if I'll be playing well.
Well, we should start a band.
Yeah, let's do it.
James, let's start a band. You play the guitar. I'll do the drums because you can't hear well out of one ear. I'm going to sound amazing with that.
Okay, of course you are, Bill.
I'll be the sound engineer.
All right, and I'll conduct.
You play the sound engineer in real life, too.
And you do well.
You're singing, right?
I can sing. Sing a song.
So what about the concept we just talked about earlier? I think Bill talked about good-looking women have no problem with self-esteem. And I think that's interesting because I think that's also true with men as well. They don't have any problems with self-esteem. And I think that's interesting because I think that's just always – it's just what we've made up. It's what we've, you know, accrued into our head. And I think also, what about good men never have problems with – good-looking men never have problems with women, finding a good woman. It's not true either. I mean, these are all stereotypical things that we've created in our own mind to make this world, however, like basically fictitious.
Hey, you know what?
Society helped us.
Check this out. I've always heard this, and really, there's nothing more true. Perception is reality.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely buy into that. I buy into it.
You know, if you're perceived a certain way,
then
it's a reality for people. And, you know, politicians have learned to hone this.
Mm-hmm.
And
on Facebook. People have perception all the time. Like, they'll put pictures of their family. You know, have you all seen those pictures where the family's all jumping at the same time, at the same height?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They're out on a beach or somewhere, and they time it where the kids are all jumping in the family. Most of those kind of pictures have that perception of they are just the best family. But most of the time, one of those people involved with that marriage is extremely unhappy,
right,
or they're doing something completely different on the side. You know what I mean? But you're right, the perception. That's why this show is called Perspectives, because it was going to be perception, but then I realized years ago the difference between the two, and I decided perspective is a more understanding of all bases. We figured it out. We've looked at things. We've understand other people's lives. We're able to make that course. Perception is all based on looks or all based on the way we see something.
Single-minded.
James, that's why public relations is such a lucrative career,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
exactly. Yeah. I used to want to be the new James Carville. Y'all know James Carville. Yes.
James Carville,
LSU,
and Marley Matlin.
That's right. And you know, I've always felt this way, and I still
the
do.
The new James Carville. Is there something wrong with
the Raging Cajun?
The problem is you have too much hair, though.
No, but you know what? You know, doing news all these years, I mean, I could probably, if Ashley wanted to run for office, I could tell her what to say, when to say it, how to say it, where to say it, what to wear, when she's saying it. So that all of those send a very positive message.
Packaging.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, it's perception is reality.
It is.
And you know what? We carry around these internal stereotypes, and we all have them. But sometimes you're perceived a certain way, and that's not the way you are.
And James Carville was a master.
Oh, yeah.
He still is.
He is. I heard him speak at a college graduation, and I think it's where his daughter is in school now. And Hobart Smith. Hobart. I'm forgetting the other name. Anyway, I have not been so fired up just to listen to somebody come and just speak, as the old folk used to say, truth to power. It was simple. It was to the point. And then he was done. And it was gone, you know, but it was the messaging was excellent. So, yes, you could.
Yeah, he's quite an orator.
I think that's funny that you can marry somebody with completely different thought processes and still be married. That just shows you
how real
politics really is. So when we return, we're going to test the waters on single versus married, the stereotypes and typecasting we've chosen for ourselves and everybody else around us. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we've been discussing stereotypes in the different ways than you've probably ever thought about. We're exploring them. You know, what stereotypes have you created for yourself? You know, we can stereotype and typecast ourselves right out of life. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times we create these within our own life. We create a wall within our own self, and we actually aren't able to, you know, it prevents us from actually knowing ourselves. And we've all heard of actors that typecast, you know, get typecast in Hollywood. Well, it's the same thing. We can typecast our own life and typecast ourselves right out of living. You know, earlier we were discussing career typecasting, looks and attitude typecasting in our own lives, the way we see people, the way we see ourselves. And I think now is a perfect time to discuss single life versus married life and the typecasting that we use in these. And I think it's helpful to understand that we've kind of been brought into these stereotypes hook, line, and sinker. And I know there's a comment that I love. There's something that was said a while back by Chris Rock. And I love this because it makes me laugh every time. You know, married and bored or single and lonely, you know? And I think this is going to begin our unearthing of these stereotypes and typecasting that we've chosen when it comes to being married or when it comes to being single. So first off, if you're married, you know, you're happy. Or on the other side, if you're married, you're unhappy. And I think a lot of people believe this. I mean, they either be like, oh, well, those married people, they're always got it right. Everything's just perfect for them. They must have a great life. Or on the other side, they're like, oh, they just got to be so sad and depressed.
Well, and I think that, you know, it might come from the fact that as two people decide to get married, well, there's a reason. I mean, they must love each other, right? Of course, now over 50% of marriages end in divorce nowadays. And, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say that even back in the day of Ward and June Cleaver, you know, all marriages weren't hunky-dory. People probably, you know, put up a good face for other people. In fact, you know, my grandparents had a bad marriage, but they remained married until my grandfather died, you know, 60 years later.
Well, yeah, my grandmother was married, what, three times?
Yeah. And
they didn't believe in divorce.
That was the thing. It was just that stereotype about divorced women back in the day.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, God bless my grandmother.
To the contrary, my grandmother was divorced twice, each time for irreconcilable differences and cruel and unusual punishment.
There was no crime of passion? No crime of passion.
There might have been some crime, though. I don't know. Okay, right. Granny, don't get me back. You're in heaven, I know.
But anyway, you would assume that if two people are going to get married, it's because
something's there.
Something's there, yeah.
And something to build off of.
Yeah.
Something substantial.
But let's go back to the stereotyping of looks and attitude. Think about when people get married, a lot of times it's based on these stereotypes. Okay, so for example, a man marries a woman that's a hot woman.
Packaging.
Very gorgeous. Can't cook. Doesn't care about what she does. She doesn't have a job. Doesn't matter because she's a model. So they get married. And then, you know, five, 6 years later down the road, they're like, you don't do anything. You don't work, you don't clean, you don't do anything, and guess what? They get divorced because they base the marriage on a stereotype. So right. they got married that way, and so then all of a sudden they're divorced, and they're like, I don't know what happened. Well, what happened is you married a damsel in distress that had no career, no options, didn't care. You didn't care about her having a career either. She couldn't cook either.
Yeah.
But she was really good looking, and then all of a sudden those looks start to fade, or the attitude is just so bad at home that you finally have to get divorced.
What
and
about,
there's several different, you know, trifectas of that.
Yeah, what about just the opposite way? You know, a woman marries a man, and they're, you know, let's say they're in their early to mid-20s, you know, and let's say he's just getting started in his career. Oh, okay, you know, he treats me right, and you know, he's just starting out in his career, whatever. 5 or 6 years down the line, he's still stuck in the same job, doesn't have any ambition, just going through the motions. And you know what? You don't have any ambition. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to improve a lot in life. I'm done with you.
Yeah, because people do change sometimes.
And she moves
too.
On.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay. James has gone through that. He knows that.
Have you?
So yeah. I mean,
like, as he smiles over here.
Silence in
silence
the house.
Silence is golden.
Yes, yeah. It was.
It's golden. You know, but
it was a beautiful smile,
you,
though.
But think about all that stuff. So if you're married and unhappy, what about single? Single life. You know, you've heard that song, single life. You know,
I'm living
like,
that.
Woo! Party single, time, 24/7. Going to be hanging. Going to be dating. Going to be having fun. Or the other side, it's lonely and it's awful. I mean, think about it. Single life. Everybody has, and I think a lot of times married people have interesting stereotypes of single people.
Of single people.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they must
well, you
have
see me
before.
Smiling, don't you?
Oh, there's that smile again. We caught you,
you know,
smiling.
It is. I think life is what it is, and you make out of it what you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're single or married, I mean, you got to make yourself happy by yourself, really, because without... You know, if you need someone else to make you happy, there's a problem.
Right.
And James,
some people are codependent, and they're lost without.
I know a person who a close family member who fits that to a T.
Yeah, wow.
And she's miserable.
I think you just have to make yourself happy first.
Yeah,
and then you know,
then you can take yourself and be
right.
in a good, healthy
and make
relationship
a sad person happy.
And make a sad person happy.
Yeah, yes, that's you where can. You crash and burn, I think. I don't know, but
something happens.
Something Bam! Happens. Oh! No, but think about married. Okay, so a lot of people think married equals kids. If you get married, you got to have children. Or what about the flip flop? Married life is archaic and overplayed, and if you're not going to have children, then why the heck are you going to get married? Okay, I hear both all the
well,
time.
Well, I will admit that that's the first thing I think, you know.
Is children equals marriage?
It's not. Well, no, marriage equals children.
Okay. Some people listen to children equals marriage.
Sure.
You know, it just depends.
Well,
you got the chicken coming before the egg or the egg coming before the chicken. Okay, you're going to do it the other way.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Old school way.
Again, to me.
Married than children.
You know, it's like, if you're getting bothered to get married in the first place. You know, then you
but
know.
But bother to get married in the first place. That sounds crazy, though.
I know.
It's like,
I know.
That it's only procreation. That basically we should just put it the procreation, the allowed by church procreation is what you're considering marriage at this point.
Well, I think. Well, and again, it's not necessarily you know what I believe. I'm just saying. You know, I think society has kind of built its
give the credence.
You can't get married because you like somebody. You can't get married because you love somebody. Nobody could ever dream of being with somebody else. It's a union.
It doesn't necessarily have to procreate, but people. That's not the way we've been taught.
Yeah.
It just
there's no way you could be yeah. well, there's no way you could have a union without procreation.
Here's the thing, actually, you look at societies around the world, and whether they are you know Western civilization or you could even go to like the you know Stone Age people who live in the Amazon. Okay?
Or China, where if you have more than one child, they will execute.
Yeah, you know, all societies around the world have institutionalized marriage.
Absolutely.
And Ashley's cracking up right now, so I'll just continue my little sermon here.
I hear what you're saying. It's institutional marriage.
Can you spit it out? You're laughing here.
It's institutional marriage. No, I get what you're saying, but I do think that sometimes we do these stereotypes because it's just the way we're taught. It's the way you're taught. Like, there's no way in hell that you're going to get married to somebody and live a life with them unless you're needing to have children. But I mean, I don't agree with that.
Well, they call it an institution for for a reason.
Because.
Right. That's, see, that's,
good
that,
one,
that's,
Jay.
That's the point. You know, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why that they institutionalized
true.
It.
True.
Yeah. Because society, you know, is built around, you know, at least a large part anyway, about raising children and bringing them up as adults into society. Otherwise, your society dies.
Right. Well, that's true. I just think it's interesting how we all have these focus points on our own life. Like, I know people that are single that all they want to do is get married. And I know people that are married that all they want to do is be single. I know. And it's, like, funny. Think about it. Like, when you were a kid, my mom made me wear my hair a certain way. So I don't know about y'all. I know you don't have this problem, Bill or James. I'm looking toward Nedra on this conversation right quick. But, you know, I loved long hair, but I was never allowed to have long hair. It was always just short hair. And there was like, I don't remember the name of the gymnast or whatever, but my mom thought her hair was awesome. So I always, Nadia. Mary Lou Redden.
Oh, Mary Lou.
Mary Lou Redden.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So I had this awful hair. And I know she's going to be listening to this show. Anyway, God bless you, Mom. I love you. But anyway, but no, I remember I always wanted that. And it's funny how when you have short hair, you want long hair. And I met a friend of mine. Her mom made her keep her hair long all through school. And I guess the day that she left there to go to college, she cut it into a pixie haircut. A pixie. You know how short that is? It's like everybody wants what they can't have because the grass is always greener on the other side. Because that woman that's beautiful has to have the best self-esteem. You know, that other woman, she must be the best cook. You know, this whole married scenario, those married people got it all right. Or the single people got it all right because I'm married and stuck in a marriage. You know, and I think that's how the world works a lot of times. And so it just predicates this BS that we all create in our own heads.
And it keeps going. Yeah. It keeps going. But yeah, that hair thing, I understand that one clearly. I had straight hair because we had a pressing comb, or as you young people now call a flat iron. And the thing that I wanted the most when I was in high school was to have an afro. So when I finally got that afro, I was just like, oh, I'm happy. I'm doing this. I'm out there. I'm making a hair statement. And I just cracked up. My mom said I could, but I was breaking the tradition of hairstyle in our family by heading into that afro.
I like that. I can't wait to see some pictures of old
time. I want to see that.
We're going to do Throwback Thursdays. Woo! Thursdays. This is Throwback Saturday.
Hashtag TBT, baby.
So when Perspectives returns, I'm going to give you the true tips for releasing these stereotypes in your life and to begin living your real life right now in real time. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Do you see the light? The band! Do you see the light?
What light?
Have you seen the light?
Yes! Yes! Jesus H. Christ! I have seen the light!
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And you know, we've been discussing tonight the stereotypes that we give ourselves, you know, the stereotypes that we've actually bought into. You know, you got to think about those stereotypes and that typecasting that actually you've created for yourself. A lot of times these are self-imposed, or they can be imposed by society or by other people telling you who you are, and then you buy into that. You know, it's just like being typecasting like an actor. You know, it's the same type of deal. And, you know, these stereotypes we can carry with us. We make our decisions based on them a lot of times. And we talked about earlier, you know, about stereotyping of the career, about your looks, about your attitude, about married, about single. All these things are very interesting because that acts upon our life. I mean, we make decisions on how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to speak, what job is correct, the attitude we should exhibit, what status we should select based on stereotypes that we bought into. You know, so let's talk about this. How do you begin to release these stereotypes? And I think this is interesting. I think this is kind of, I guess this is kind of one of the golden nuggets of the show, is the reason why I use the word release to release stereotypes is because you can't just get rid of them, right? You have to begin releasing one at a time. And if you judge and define yourself by certain stereotypes your entire life, I think when you begin to realize, right, and start to release these stereotypes, you must realize again that you aren't actually losing your identity. Instead, for the very first time in your life, you are creating your true identity. So think about that. When you begin to release these stereotypes one at a time, a lot of times we start wondering or start thinking that we're losing ourselves. We're losing our identity. I don't want to lose my identity. But in actuality, you're creating your own true identity for the first time and ever.
Well, I think that's those are very wise words. Mm-hmm. And because I think James actually made this point in the first segment. You can actually limit yourself by living your life with too many stereotypes.
You know, absolutely.
If you come across somebody and you already know you think you know all everything about that person before you've even met them, just based on how they look or, you know, what their job is, blah, 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 then how do you know that that other person isn't somebody worth cultivating?
Exactly.
You know?
The other message that she's speaking to is the identification of the stereotype. Being able to recognize it, deciding it's not working for me, and letting that go and putting in its place something that is you.
Knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is half the battle.
Yep.
Knowledge is power.
Always.
Man's flight through life is sustained by the power of his knowledge.
Ah, quote. Ooh, from the good. Marine.
No, they actually, no one knows who said that first. It wasn't me, but I actually saw it at the Air Force Academy on
Air
a statue.
Force. Okay.
It was on a statue, and it said Marine. Author unknown. And yeah. I'm like, really? But I've always loved that, and it's so true.
It is.
On
is
every
true.
Level. And it's what you're talking about.
That's true.
We must first know ourselves before we can really know anyone else.
That's true. And
that's kind of deep, too, huh?
That's very
And we
deep.
Can't love other that's people until we love ourselves.
We actually have some deep thought on a Saturday night.
On
what
a Saturday night. We did it, y'all. Look at there.
You can't love other people unless you love yourself as well. And I think it's interesting, though, when you start realizing that you're not your typecast, that you're not your stereotypes, I think that's what's interesting is when you realize that that's separate from you, it can be a very scary feeling. It can kind of take you out of your comfort zone because you're like, whoa, wait, I've lived my whole life knowing this, that I picked the right job, I picked the right career, I picked the right mate, female, male, whoever. I married the right person, in quotes. I did the right thing. I believed all this stuff. I have the attitude, the outward attitude that I'm supposed to have. And I think also when you were talking about reality shows earlier, James, a lot of people see these shows, even TV shows, regular TV shows and the movies, you start kind of looking at those people and saying, oh, this is what my personality should be more like. Or maybe I'm in that position. I'm this woman. I'm this. I'm that. I should take on this role. And I think a lot of times it's hard to be independent. But you have to realize that these stereotypes should not define you. I mean, these are character driven stereotypes. They were written in a script. Okay, they're not in your life.
And there's an adage, art imitates life, life imitates art. Yes, but not necessarily completely. So you might not want to buy into everything that you see on the screen.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Absolutely.
You know what?
Read the book.
I just went to a, how do I want to say this? I went to.
Uh-oh.
On the air.
Yeah, this will be on.
We're live, James. Just remember that.
I went to a stereotype free zone.
Okay.
Yay.
Ooh. Okay.
I like that.
It's called St. Croix. And I went, the first time I went, I had vacation to burn, and I had to use it or lose it. So I said, well, I'm going to go. So I went by myself.
Mm.
Never been there before. St. Croix. It's an American territory.
Yes, it is.
I fell in love with the people there. Sure. Why? I don't know. I was just like, man, this is incredible. So I wound up going back and went with a friend of mine. And, you know, she says, man, I love these people. What is it about these people? You know what? Everyone there. Now, keep in mind, this is 2.5 hours from Miami by air. So it's out there. Everyone there has the same kind of like-minded attitude. They're adventurous. They're you know, they're taking a risk. They're rolling the dice. They're living large. They're following their dreams. Almost everyone, it's like everyone, they don't even ask what you do for a living. They just want to know about you and why you're on the island. And everyone has the same thing. You walk up and you say, what's your story? And they'll say, you know what? I came here on for a birthday. I came here for a wedding. And I went back home, sold everything I own, and I've been here for 35 years.
I moved.
This as well as 2 weeks. You know, I mean, people that just moved to the island. And it was all about the people. They had passion for their dreams and living the dream and following their dreams, and they don't care about all the stereotypes. That was very interesting.
I'm sold. I'm moving. See you, Ashley. Bye-bye.
I'm on my way.
You got to finish the show by yourself.
I think you should do a show there.
From St. Croix. Now, let's do it.
Let's go.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Everyone there had the same.
It's the freedom.
Yeah.
It's the freedom to excuse the pun. There's a book. I think it's called Free to Be You and Me. But it's that kind of freedom. And I think the water has a lot to do with that. Whether people recognize that fully or not, the water is a very freeing environment for those who are not scared of it. And that probably has something to do. Whenever you travel to the islands, you get this automatic peace. Excuse the popping. You get an automatic peace. I know tech people are going to kill me. Sorry, Bill. that allows you to just breathe.
But you know, the other thing is
And still move.
But the thing is, everyone there just has this leap of faith. And that's a bonding
I agree with both of y'all. I think also a lot of times though on these islands, there's not that big of a need to watch a bunch of TV.
Well, that's true too. And I didn't turn it on once in like
the whole time
2 weeks.
There.
And you have all this outdoor stuff. And so there's not kids all sitting inside watching TV. They're not all playing video games. Mm-hmm. They're not all stuck inside. Mm-hmm. This is an island, kids. Yeah, this is an island, people.
Explore.
There's beauty. I haven't ever watched TV when I'm in the island. So think about it. I bet most of those people watch maybe an hour at the max a day of TV, mm-hmm. which I think that changes a lot of things about life.
But yeah, watch the evening news.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right? Hey. We all need a break.
Gotta have the news.
And there's not a bunch of craziness probably going on in St. Croix. I mean,
there is. We just don't talk about it.
We can't put it on the air. Another reason.
One thing I found myself doing is you see somebody that just looks interesting. Everyone on the islands is an extrovert. So you see somebody, so you immediately put aside your preconceived notions of who this person is or who they might be. And you just start talking to them. And next thing you know, you got a new best friend.
Conversation.
You know?
But
the stereotypes where you look at people and you go, yeah, oh.
Sizing them up.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't do that there for some reason.
That's a good thing.
So he called me up one night. I guess this is the first time you were in St. Croix, and you're like, hey, I got some people I want you to meet on the phone. And I talked to them for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, she's a life coach in St. Croix.
Right.
And you would never expect to meet a life coach in St. Croix. But the more I thought about it, I was like, wow.
She needs the energy up. She has to go in. And
I said, you got to meet Ashley. So I put them on the phone. They talk. I'm like, man, you're still talking to Ashley. I'm glad it's not long distance.
You're like, goodness gracious.
That's a good thing.
It's pretty cool. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about how to really release those typecasting and stereotypes that we've created in our life, because it's hard to release these things. It's hard to let them go. They've been a part of your life for so long. It's like, you know, it's like letting go of your twin that was surgically connected to you at birth. So we'll talk more about that. So stay tuned, because when we return, Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been discussing stereotypes. We've been discussing how we actually create our own stereotypes in our own life, how we typecast ourselves, how we typecast others, and how this causes problems in our life, and we don't really realize it until we start to let these go. And right before the break, we were discussing how you can begin to release these stereotypes. And I think it's very interesting, because in the beginning, when you try to release these, you have to first understand, one, what they are. You have to understand, what is a stereotype? So I think we've talked about that. I think you can understand the things that you create stereotypes in your own life. And I think that that's probably around your career, around your marriage, if you're not married, around being single, about your attitude. All these different things play a role about who we're trying to impress, what makes us a successful person, what makes us a successful human being. And I think that's important. So first off, realizing that you actually make these typecasts not on only other people, but also on yourself. And also, you have to realize that you can't define yourself by these. And I think the best way to realize these are that they're just obvious. I mean, a lot of times it's not also to our core. When we've made stereotypes, it doesn't attach to our heart. It's actually something that seems kind of like a false. It's like a false nose, mm-hmm. like false eyelashes, like false, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't feel like it's part of you. You know it's not because you got to take it off. And so there comes some time when you actually have to let these go. And I think as you begin to realize the attitudes, the actions and how these are no longer serving you. They don't serve you in any sort of way of beliefs. You can begin to drop these. And I think realizing the entire time that you are you, you aren't going to lose yourself by leaving these stereotypes behind. Instead, on the opposite, you actually get you for the first time. I mean, this release may actually cause you to question some things in your life. And we were talking about this on break. It might, when you release some of these stereotypes, it might actually cause you to question several facets of your life. And you may also begin to wonder, right, the validity of the people around you, the reality and the validity of your lifestyle. And I think that's important. I mean, I think we've all had that situation where we wake up one day and we say, oh my God, I mean, what have I chosen? Why did I choose this? Whose life is this? I think there's a song about this. Whose life is this anyway? What's going on?
You just described me about 5.5 years ago.
And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like being totally lost. Like, who am I? And I think you got to take it slowly. And when this happens, it can be overwhelming, but you got to work with it. I think that when you work with the other people in your life that you want in your life, I think you can explain it to them. I think if you care enough about somebody and you want them around, whoever it might be, I think if you explain it to them and say, hey, I just realized a lot of things in my life aren't the way that I thought they were, okay? And I'm going to be right straight with you. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because I care. There are going to be other people in your life that you're not going to give two shakes to, okay? Because it's not going to bother you. Because you're thinking, man, I have no idea what I'm doing with that person. I have no idea why I'm surrounding myself in this industry. And so I think that you're going to come to a come to Jesus reality. And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation for yourself. But I think you're going to have to sit there and figure out. Don't make jump decisions. But make some clear exit strategies of things that you want to get rid of. And I think they're going to be clear. I think some of those might come in career. Some of those might even be marriages. Some of those might even be the single life that you've been holding on to so dearly for whatever reason, which in reality, maybe it was a fear of commitment. Maybe it's because you didn't understand your own heart. Maybe you didn't understand what you wanted in life. Maybe you thought everybody else wanted you to do this.
Or maybe you thought you weren't good enough.
Maybe you thought you weren't good enough.
So.
You weren't good enough for anybody. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of these stereotypes come because we're always trying to impress somebody. We're trying to what? We're trying to fit in.
Yep.
Right. Fitting in and also trying to understand what is success. A lot of times these stereotypes are, I think, embedded in people's concepts of success.
Well, it's like I said earlier in the show, our society defines success as material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of it is geared towards that, succeeding materially in life.
And a lot of people who may not be making that deep dollar might be great successes on a humanitarian level, on many other levels, not just with the earning power. So maybe that's how you can begin to strip some of the stereotypes that you're living in and live toward the deeper aspect of yourself.
Less is more.
Always.
I agree with that. I think some parts of your life will have to change in order for you to be honest with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And these changes can feel like you're losing a part of yourself, but what? In actuality, you're getting a part of yourself back. And so let's think how you would actually honestly do this, right? So think about it. You realize, okay, ding, 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 I'm not doing the career I want to do. Okay, and the reason why I'm doing that is because I want to impress those three kids that used to make fun of me in high school, right? And so I want to go back to the 20-year reunion and go, look at me, woohoo, yeah, you know, I got my big car, I got this, I got that. Or it could be I'm trying to impress my family. Or, you know, it could be I'm trying to impress the girl. I'm trying to do this. Once you figure out that is not something that you want and that's something that you actually did not choose for yourself, you chose because of other people, that's when you have to start realizing an exit strategy if you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Because I think if it is not certain to you, if you are not in love with it, it's not helping you. I think it's just hurting you. And I think we've all been there where we stereotyped ourselves out of the happiness of life.
Yeah. You know? And you get in a rut.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think for a lot of people, they wake up and realize, I'm not happy. But they don't take the next step and they say, well, why am I not happy? I mean, I should be happy, shouldn't I? And, you know, figure out what's not making you happy.
I got everything that's supposed to be good. I got everything that's stereotypically the right thing.
I'm formula
so
type.
You said most people wake up and they're just like, I'm just not happy.
Right. And then they look at their life and say, why? Well, take it another step, you know, and figure out why.
What's the part that's not making you happy?
And in order to do that, and I speak from personal experience again, you've got to be willing to look at yourself in the mirror. And and not the funhouse mirror that distorts, you know, what you see. Mm-hmm. You got to willing to be take a look at yourself honestly, which is not an easy thing to do.
It's scary.
And
it's
very
scary.
It can
be absolutely scary.
And I think,
especially in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before you had your coffee, right? You know?
And I think you want to take pride. You know, you want to take pride in yourself. And I think, you know, how we take pride in understanding other people's problems, and we take pride in being the investigation journalist on this is so-and-so's problem, and I'm going to help you solve your problem. Well,
helper.
Start taking pride in your own problems
exactly.
And figure out how to solve your own problems, because that's really what it's all about, because everybody's mirroring you anyway. So as long as you still have these problems, you're still going to see friends of yours that you're going to be like, man, their marriage is awful. Or, man, they just date the wrong guys. Or, man, I can't believe they're doing that as a career. They're not even that good at that. Is that really what they want to do? They come home every night and they drink a 6-pack, or they drink a 12-pack, or they drink whatever they drink because they hate what they do. And the same thing is that, it's, you know what, it's looking right back at you. Because there's some facet. And some people might figure out that it's not just one facet.
Maybe
some
more
people
than
find
one.
Out there's more.
Actually, very quickly, you touched on this, and this is something from your own professional experience too. You know, a lot of people, I think, self-medicate because they know that there's something wrong. They don't like themselves, or they don't like where they are in life, but they self-medicate to deaden that.
Mm-hmm.
And
some
then,
people eat. Some
yeah.
people eat to fill
yes,
a void. Some
exactly.
people, yeah. you're right. Some people take drugs. Some people take prescription medication. Some people drink.
Some people move. They never just stop and sit to assess. They figure if they keep going, if I keep moving and I'm doing something, I don't have to face what's in that mirror, who's in that mirror.
Yeah.
And just for a second, in case I might forget, when you, I believe deeply, when you examine self, it's also going to benefit those who are around you. They're going to get a better you, and they may become better themselves because of that extrication of those stereotypes.
I'm a much happier person since I got out of the insurance mm-hmm. business, and I find that people actually enjoy being around me. Go
sure,
figure.
Sure. Well, they probably always enjoyed it. You
You're not
just
such
didn't
an ass,
know.
That's what.
You just did not.
No, I agree with you. And people learn from other people.
Sure.
And people watch other people. And people also understand where other people are growing from.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? This is not something new.
No.
I mean, Shakespeare.
It's old as the hills.
Centuries ago said, to thine own self be
true.
Yep. And, you know, it's like, so they had stereotypical problems and about stereotypes.
Sure.
They're like,
and
man, I want to hang out with
back
Socrates.
Then, yes. How crazy is that?
Yeah. Some people were trying to hang out in their group going, well, if I dress this way, I might look like a philosopher.
And if we looked at how they dress now, we'd be laughing at them.
And did, do.
You know, it's
well,
like,
you know, absolutely.
Look at those wigs. No,
wigs.
You know, robes, flowing robes, the robes.
And the pantaloon pants.
Well,
and
the guys, doing the women's roles, because back in those days, the girls were not on stage.
Right.
Girls were not
act
on
is
stage.
What I heard.
No Oscars back then.
Mm. So
the drum roll to tooch.
So I believe that, you know, all in all, release your stereotypes. You only can do that by realizing them. Begin to make changes in your own life. And I think you can understand those, and your life's going to be so much better, and the people that you want in your life are still going to understand. So, Nedra, James, Bill, great show tonight.
Ashley, we love it.
It was a great
it's
show tonight.
It's all about perspective.
I do. I learned a lot tonight.
Me too. I've got to keep looking in that mirror.
It is deep, man.
It is
deep.
It might be scary.
Deep.
But I'm going to keep looking until I find the best of the best.
Right.
The best of the best of the best, sir. Stay tuned because we've got a great show for you next week. And guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.